Hi everyone, this is Michael Jura, and I'm on the line here with Gerald O'Donnell. And one of the things that we're going to do today is get information from Gerald regarding Western European protocols on remote viewing. Now, as you guys know, just a few weeks ago, we had Ed Dames on the line, and he kind of blew us away with some of the stuff that he shared. Today, we thought we'd get experience and insights from a remote viewer from a completely different part of the planet, this time a non-American remote viewer. So, Gerald, it's a pleasure to have you online. Could you do us a favor and tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved with remote viewing?
Okay, I got involved in remote viewing in the beginning of the 1980s until close to the late years of the 1980s. It was part of a joint operation in Western Europe between Western Europe intelligence services and law enforcement agencies. It was done in a somehow different way than in the U.S. because there was no academic background or nor feedback given on that point.
Interesting.
And some of those operations or some of those services are still operating using these protocols. So I cannot reveal all that has been done and all that is being done now.
I understand. I fully understand. Out of curiosity, Gerald, is remote viewing still being actively used by many Western European governments?
Yes, of course.
But can you give us an example of what they would be using it for now? I mean, given that the Cold War is effectively over?
Well, maybe the Cold War is over, but many more wars are happening all over the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So they would be using it for exactly the same purpose that they were using it before, which is really... trying to investigate either locations or situations or people that cannot be investigated in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of attempts at doing remote influencing of situations and individuals. It's a tool.
I see. And I'm curious if this is as widely accepted in Europe and publicly made acceptable in Europe as it is in the U.S. I mean, just to give you an example, in the U.S., the Marin County Police Department has openly shared that they use psychics to help them solve cases. And even President Jimmy Carter in 1995 disclosed the contents of part of the Stargate program. Are Western European governments as willing to admit that they are funding such research?
At some level, yes, they're not publishing it on, you know, it is not officially published everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's not been declassified as it's been here. So there is less publications about it. The Eastern European are publishing a lot mm-hmm. of research papers and are pretty open about this situation. There's more going on in Eastern Europe than there is really in Western Europe as a whole.
I see. Would you be able to share with us maybe... If this is not private and confidential, but maybe one or two success stories that you or people you know have had doing doing remote viewing for Western European government or police or investigative agencies?
I cannot do this. I can tell you that there was already these operations really were already operating in the Second World War already.
Ah, I see.
After the Second World War, they already every single intelligence department that I know of in Europe was using what you would call here psychics.
That is fascinating because that's a very, very, very interesting statement. Now, Gerald, there's one thing I really liked about you when I read your profile. You seem to have a lot of interest in remote influencing as well as remote viewing. For the benefit of our listeners, could you explain what you mean by remote influencing?
Okay, the term remote influencing is something that we introduced when we wrote this website in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been used, everybody has been using it in different ways, but what we meant by remote influencing is the ability to influence consensual reality
mm-hmm.
and thought from within yourself. In other words, you have levels within yourself that allow you to communicate with the rest of the universe.
But they only exist within each
and every individual has that level, of course.
And
that is a secret of remote viewing, by the way.
That is a right.
Now, the secret of remote viewing.
Mm-hmm. So my question then is this. I've read about governments funding remote viewing research and using remote viewing to obtain information on targets they were interested in. But are governments using remote influencing in any way?
Look, all I can tell you is something that I witnessed myself. Okay, I was in the beginning of the year 2000 invited to perform on a TV show in California. I won't mention the show at this point. And Uri Geller was there. And when he addressed the audience, you know Uri Geller, the famous Mike Bender? Okay. As he addressed the audience, he quoted, I don't know if this showed up on the final episode that was broadcast on television, but he quoted, he said that he had been hired by U.S. intelligence to do some RI, and I'm just mentioning this now, to do some RI during some negotiations with the Russians in order to bring a more favorable outcome, which was really in the end of the Cold War. So, yes, it's being used, yes.
That is very, very fascinating.
Of government. I'm not going to mention anything about us, but I can tell you it's being used, yes.
Not a problem. Now, I'm curious. Last year in the U.S., there was a very famous documentary that was released called The Secret. Have you heard of The Secret?
Of course.
Okay. So I was wondering, in The Secret, they talk about how your thoughts determine your reality. And they go on to say that using your thoughts, you can determine what reality your life moves into. I was wondering, is this essentially remote influencing?
Absolutely. What we teach in our course, but we don't teach it only as a body of knowledge, where we make everyone experience this reality, is that everything, and I mean literally everything, is an epiphenomenon of thought. There is higher thought, high intelligence. That high intelligence will then manifest at our level in what we perceive as being reality, and that includes matter. And that high intelligence would allow that body of matter, of biology, if you want, at our level, to give us a restricted intelligence, which is the human intelligence. But it's all connected because it's all thought. So therefore, the human intelligence can, by definition and by rule, influence the totality of reality.
Interesting.
So your thoughts are really part of matter, which is part of the higher intelligence.
It's all mind.
This is only mind in reality.
Very interesting. Now, does this therefore mean that you can influence something by remote viewing it? Like, can you influence the information you're receiving by remote viewing that information?
Yes. Now, I'm revealing you something which I've barely touched on our website, and this is a very extensive website with a lot of explanations. And yes, you definitely can influence what you remote view, or you will remote view what you really want to some level. It is all about a consensual reality. When American researchers such as Russell Targ and Harold Puthoff were doing their studies, their remote viewing studies here, they needed to always send a beacon, a human being, that would then go and look at the target visually and bring back that feedback to the remote viewer and the team that was doing the remote viewing. They realized it was necessary to have a consensual reality. In other words, it is the consensual reality of many individuals who believe in a certain situation that allow for that situation to be somehow visualized and created.
I see.
In other words, if you have people in front of you or around you that you accept in your consensual reality who have great doubts about your abilities, you do not get the positive feedback of what you have done or what you have seen, you most probably will not be successful because you have entered a consensual reality where the individuals that are around you are co-creating, but their thoughts are influencing the final result.
That's very, very, very interesting. Does this then mean that if you're trying to manifest a certain outcome, it works better if you have more than one person focusing on manifesting that same outcome?
It doesn't have to be only that you manifest. You need the feedback, and that person has to be engaged in your life and acknowledge the fact that this has happened. But it doesn't mean that you cannot do it on your own. It depends if it's going to be a shared reality. It's going to be more powerful if it's a shared reality than if it's just your own reality. But you need that feedback. In other words, when you do in Silva, for instance, you do the three finger techniques, and you're looking for a parking spot. You are in your own universe. I mean, I did Silva in the beginning of the 70s, and I remember many students coming all excited and then showing up at the class and saying how incredible it was that just by thinking that they will find a parking spot in a location where there was never any place, they would find this parking spot. What was at play at that point is that they were getting their own feedback, and the more they were getting their own feedback, the more they believed that they were able to influence their reality, and the more they were able to influence their reality because of that belief system. It's only a belief system. The more they were given that capability, which they have, because that very deep level of their mind above the programmable part is going to project that because they believe, they've started to believe. Understand?
Yes. Jose Silva, for example, he says, don't jump the gun. Start with a small goal. Make that successful. Then you can go to bigger and bigger and bigger things. Yes. And every time you accomplish something small, your belief system gets strengthened. And you can do something bigger and bigger and bigger. Is this what you mean by feedback?
Yes. It has to be a positive feedback. Because any negative feedback is going to create doubt in your own mind. And therefore, you will lose that ability. So as long as you keep on having positive feedbacks and you're surrounded by people who believe in that particular situation that you're trying to project, then you will increase your ability to create your own universe, because everybody is really creating their own universes. We all walk around like in a bubble of reality.
Are you serious? I mean,
I'm deadly serious.
Statement.
Yeah, it may be very controversial, but that's based on facts and on quantum physics. We walk in our own bubble of reality. There really is no time nor space. There are interactions of realities in a perception of time and in a perception of space.
I'm just trying to understand this. So does this mean, for example, okay, let's say there are two friends, Bill and Bob, and Bill and Bob, and both friends are competing at bowling. Does this mean that in one reality, Bill could have won, and in Bob's reality, Bob could have won, but these realities are perceived relative
yes.
to both friends?
Okay, now we would have to enter another level, which is part of quantum physics, which is a level of parallel universes.
Okay.
We all exist in multiple universes, all of us. But we only carry in our perception one universe, meaning that you are the center of your universe only in one universe. In the other universes, you show up in some other people's universes.
That is incredible. Okay, so, I want to ask another question because I really want to understand this, because this is one of the most interesting, powerful, and but yet hard to digest ideas I've heard in a while. So this means that you, Gerald, exist in multiple universes,
of course.
And you have your own universe. Right now, as I am talking to you,
yes.
you are simply making a guest appearance in my universe.
That's correct. We're sharing reality now.
Wow.
Your universe.
Does the same thing apply to, say, husband and wife, mother and child? Are they all existing in their own individual universes, yet making guest appearances in each other's universe?
Yes, the same thing is happening to when the interaction is direct, like it is now between me and you, let's say. I am most probably interacting with a high level of yourself, which is your universe, as close as possible to your center of universe. You follow?
Right.
Now we both have intentions. When two universes interact, so to speak, they both have intentions. One universe might want to make a left turn, and then another universe will want to make a right turn, right? The differentiation between the power of one universe to influence the other more than the other will influence this one is in the level of connection now within that universe to a higher power, if you want, a higher intelligence or a higher light of vibration, which is done by going deeper in your mind and quietening your brain, because your brain is like a filtering process. It's like a colander. It reduces a gigantic intelligence which encompasses everything to a perception of individuality. It's only in perception. Do you follow? And the deeper you go in your mind, the more you relax your brain, the more you're in contact with what you would call the superconscious, if you want, or the higher intelligence, and the more your desire and that higher intelligence blends so that what you want will be then projected to you and then to the other universes that you are closely interacting with, and then therefore your desires will be manifested.
Got it. So this explains why, for example, let's say someone has malicious intent, okay, and this multiple universe theory was true. This explains why they could not choose to, say, enslave the rest of the world population in their universe.
No, they cannot. They can, in their universe, think that they're enslaving the rest of the world, but they, in reality, all they're doing is doing it in their own universe. Now, he, that one that's enslaving others in his universe, since all universes are connected, is affecting other universes and the mindset of the other universes. He might be putting fear in the mind. How many times have you woken up feeling fear, not knowing why you feel it?
Yes, I see what you mean. Okay, so I want to ask this. A member of our list sent this question in. Can I use remote viewing to win the lottery? Now, I want you to explain this based on your multiple universe concept.
Yeah, we just had someone on our site that did have this particular success. As a matter of fact, it's happened to other other students also. But this was a great success. Let me explain to you the secret of winning the lottery, really.
Okay.
And within the multi-universes, or the multi-universe, it's united, okay? In the case of the lottery, you're really dealing with what is perceived to be a random generated operation, which does not exist. Nothing is really random. There are no random numbers. Nothing is random. So the secret is not to remote view that much, as much as you would think, those numbers. It's to believe in your ability to create. Now, whether you believe in your ability to create through the illusion of seeing in advance a certain number, or you believe in your ability to create in the reality of influencing that event, which you can see, therefore, if you have a strong enough ability and belief in your universe of being able to create, that particular random, so-called random generated operation is going to go your way.
Interesting. So just to explain, you're not remote viewing the outcome, you're remote influencing the outcome.
Yes. Yeah. You're remote viewing what you really are remote influencing.
Okay, now this is fascinating, Gerald, because this is counter to say what people learn in many other programs, such as, say, the Silver Method program. In the Silver Method program, for example, when someone asked this question, I remember an answer. The answer was, no, you cannot win the lottery, because if you're trying to influence that lottery outcome, you have to remember that there may be thousands of other people also trying to co-influence that lottery outcome. And so your degree of influence is somewhat diluted. So because multiple people are aiming for that same goal, it's harder to influence the outcome. Now, do you agree with that? Or do you think that if we all exist in our own little universes, yes, in fact, multiple people can win the lottery?
Yeah. I have to admit that I don't totally agree with it. No, I do not agree with it, because it's reality. The power of your belief in your abilities to influence your reality, which will gift you, basically, that reality. The truth is, we are all part of the same being. It's like saying my right hand is going to rise higher than my left hand. The right hand, having a certain degree of co-creativity, has decided that it wants to go higher than the left hand, or one finger wants to go higher than the other one. And in this case, there are many, many hands and many, many fingers, and they're duplicated in many, many realities. So what I'm trying to say is that it's still one being. There's no harm done. And in some other reality where someone else is experiencing a different set of circumstances and universes, where you might show up or not, in a perception of time, thinking that you are in a certain era or in a certain location. And that person, I mean, that person is thinking that it is in a certain era or in a certain location. That person might be winning the lottery, and it might be in perception at the same during the same week as you are in the same location.
Interesting.
So it's impossible. So you will never know it, though. There's no way for you to know it. And you know who would know it? Your higher self. Your higher self experiences multiple realities at the same time.
I see.
And there are higher self to your higher self that experience even more.
I see.
And it goes on until you get to a one, just the one that experiences everything.
Wow. I mean, no, that is powerful stuff. So what you're saying, Gerald, is that it is indeed possible to win the lottery within your universe. And multiple
Absolutely.
People in their own individual universe bubbles can win the same lottery.
Yes, and that's what we teach. We teach you basically to quiet down your linear thinking critical mind, which is what we've been gifted here. We need that critical mind to decide what to do, what not to do based on the information we collect. But as we teach you to quiet down your linear thinking mind by going into alpha, theta, and then delta. We teach people how to operate in what is usually known as a state of sleep, of unconsciousness, delta. And be totally aware. And when they get to that state, if they've decided from before that they want to manifest a certain reality or remote view a certain reality, which is basically the same thing, they will remote view what they manifest. So they will remote view in advance what they will then experience in the present, in the future.
Wow. Wow. So does this mean then... that remote viewing predictions are inherently wrong? Okay, for example, I've spoken to some remote viewers who have talked about certain events occurring in 2010, 2011. Does this mean that these events are inherently wrong because they are going to happen to the remote viewer in their own reality, but I don't have to worry about them in my reality?
No, you don't. No, you know, there's this, and I'm going to go into deep waters here.
Uh-huh.
Many people experience in their reality certain phenomena, certain phenomena such as ETs, an example,
right?
Or certain situations where they truthfully and totally believe that they have experienced whatever reality they think they have experienced, and they have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Right.
But through their belief and through their choices, this is their universes. You might decide to engage in their universes for a little while. You might decide not to engage at all. You might decide to engage for a much longer time. And then you will experience a consensual reality with their universes, and the same experiences will be yours.
Interesting. So this leads me to a question. Are history books different in different universes?
Of course. They have to be. You know who is writing it?
Uh-huh.
The one mind is writing it through all of us, and it keeps on changing and being altered as we go. You know, when you look at history or what we consider to be archaeological finding and so forth, there are always points of this singularity, always, that do not connect. Mysteries that cannot be resolved, always. It's just a little blink, you know, if you want, from the creator is telling us, you know, things, you know, guys, it's not as linear as you think it is, and there was really never a beginning, and there will never really be an end. There might be an end for your universe, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be an end for the universe, for sure not.
Mm-hmm. Wow, fascinating. Has this got anything to do with the deja vu experience?
Yeah.
How would you explain deja vu?
Well, there are different types of deja vu. Like you say, it's a future memory. You might have... Your higher self is experiencing situations on different levels, and also it somehow knows in advance, because it's going to be part of the projection apparatus of your reality, what you most likely will experience on that day, 2 days from now, or a week from now. It already knows it. At least an hour from now, yes. You follow? Because it's doing the projection of your movie. You're inside a movie, and it's doing that projection for you. So... you as a lower self don't know it, but then since you sometimes are connected to the higher self more than usual or at some point, you suddenly get this perception that you already lived that situation. Now, you have not necessarily lived it. It's possible that you lived it in a different experience, different universe, or what else could have happened is that you just got this blink of a memory of what you is now your present, but before that was only a future event that you're experiencing now in the present.
Wow.
So it's like you're remembering what you're experiencing now. Now you're the actor in the movie. You're experiencing that.
Interesting. And can you remote view different universes?
That's all we do all the time.
But then
we're constantly remote viewing different universes.
Okay.
And that's why it was important to have a feedback. So it becomes your universe. See, when a group of scientists are together.
Right.
And they need to write a paper in their universes. They have to believe that either the experiment was successful or not. They realized they didn't understand why. I'm talking about the United States now. They did not understand why they needed to send a beacon, a human being, mm-hmm. to the particular location that would then witness the structure that the remote viewer was trying to find out.
So you can only you can only remote view something that another intelligence has already seen.
Another part of the one, yeah.
Another
intelligent part of the one.
So what about remote viewers that remote view the dark side of the moon or the planet Pluto?
Yes. They're remote viewing. You know, there is a structure of stories. I mean, there's a structure to the universe that we all carry. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we don't have a support for our creativity. I mean, if you don't have a pen and paper and a table when you go to school, you have nothing to do. You need a support to be able to create. So the stories are there. And if you want to look at this, you'll give you whatever stories you want to look at.
I see.
It's already there. It's part of the structure.
But I'm not sure I follow you because human beings have not seen the dark side of the moon, nor have they actually been on the planet Pluto. So, I mean, there
Correct.
Is no...
But there is no moon, my friend. There is no moon.
There is no what?
You know, it is known though. I mean, there is a big what they call the idealist in quantum physics would tell you if you don't look at the moon is not there. The others would tell you, even the quantum physicists would tell you. Well, some of them would tell you that this is going too far, that there is a moon. But it's just, we can alter its reality, so to speak. It can appear in a certain way or in a different way. But the reality is that we perceive only what we perceive, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Matter is a perception that the brain gives you. If you have no senses available, you wouldn't even know matter exists.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The one that projects that material universe within your universe is your superconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Follow? Your higher self. Your higher self projects that to you on a constant basis. The information that relates to your universe and all the other universes is part of that gigantic intelligence that keeps it in its own mind and doesn't have, just projects it to you.
So is this then like the Schrodinger's cat experiment? The cat can exist in multiple states until an
Correct.
Observer sees it.
Yes, you got it.
Interesting.
That is the real meaning of it. Yes.
Okay. So now,
and the one that keeps all the cats going is the one mind. Keeps all those cats.
Powerful stuff. How would you explain reincarnation and past life memories?
Oh man, you're really shooting it fast at me tonight, huh?
Well, I mean, I see you are a hypnotherapist, and I figured this is something you've probably studied.
All right. Look, everything I tell you right now
mm-hmm.
is to be found not in the outer world, but it is to be found in the inner world, but it will be correlated by your outer world.
Mm-hmm.
You follow? The outer world is going to correlate what you find really is really happening on the inner world. The key to everything is the inner kingdom, not the outer kingdom.
Yes, now I understand. Now I understand.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you're asking me about reincarnation, that depends on how you look at reincarnation. You as an individual, you exist only in this perception of individuality for the time when you are operating as an individual, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
your higher self could be right now experiencing, I have no idea, I'm just giving you just an any number. It could be like 3,000 different universes, and you're just part of one.
Right.
And it's making decision as to what to project to all these universes and what time frame to project onto. Mm-hmm. Because it is learning through it. Mm-hmm. Follow? And you're making your own decision at your own level, which are totally different from what the higher self has to create on your own level as an individual, thinking that matter, space, and time exist. Mm-hmm. And it's all part of the one mind. So who is really being reincarnated? Is the higher self reprojecting into a different dream? You can say the higher self is reincarnating. Yes, I would say yes. You follow me?
Yes, yes. In fact, it reminds me of something I read in Neil Donald Walsh's excellent book, Conversations with God, where he says that there are no past lives or future lives. They are concurrent lives. Since time is simply an illusion, you're simply existing in all these different planes at the same time.
At the same time. Because who are you in reality? You are the higher self experiencing. It's like a tentacle. Imagine having a million arms going down and touching different realities. Mm-hmm. As these realities are being touched, you're experiencing them. It's like being in a multiple movie theater, having 3,000 movies to watch at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then you stop a movie. Who stays in the movie theater? The spectator. The movie is not the spectator. As you're watching the movie, you think you are inside that situation. But as the movie is over, you're still the spectator. And then you realize you're watching who knows how many movies at the same time. And then another arm is being extended. But ultimately, who is extending all these arms? The one mind.
Right.
It's just there's one mind experiencing a couple of trillions of different stories at the same time.
Right. Now, that's powerful stuff. Now, like I said, I really want to ask some tough questions here. And another question I want to ask is, it seems like you're a person who has really looked at the very nature of reality and mind and come up with some really powerful, if not radical, conclusions. But at the same time, I can see that a lot of the stuff you're saying actually reminds me of similar stuff I've heard from other gurus and philosophers I've studied, from Jose Silva, mm-hmm. Neil Donald Walsh, to Robert Monroe. My next question for you is, what is your opinion of organized religion?
It's a structure of thought that's given in, you're asking me in this creation, the one we share?
Well, here's yes. In this particular universe, organized religion, is it something that is helping us move forward in our roles as creative beings, or is it in any way stunting our own development?
Okay, you really want me to get into deep waters here? Huh?
Yes, I do.
You're good at that. All right. What do I think of organized religion? Look, there are two movements in creation. Mm-hmm. For the one mind, the desire is to forget that he's one mind and imagine that he's many creatures. Uh-huh. Okay? So it's a movement that goes into a tendency to want to separate mm-hmm. and to restrict.
Right.
For the creatures, there is the opposite desire, which means to want to reunite and ascend mm-hmm. back to the origin of the ultimate reality. So when we are, this is particular scenario, if you want, that's being played out here, is a very separative scenario. Mm-hmm. And the notion of spirit is more than anything else taught, mm-hmm. studied, if you want, more than inherently experienced, mm-hmm. at least by humans. You'd be surprised that animals experience spirit in a different way. They're more aware, at least, of being a spirit. They don't have the ability to create at all. Mm-hmm. There's no co-creative ability in their levels, and doesn't have to be. But man is the only co-creator here. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, man does not have the ability yet to inherently, totally perceive that he is spirit. His higher self does, but not the projection here. Mm-hmm. So at the level of man, there is a need to, if you want, structure, explain, linearize, put boundaries on spirit, call it a certain name, certain representation, a system of thought, follow guidelines, and have this weird belief that spirit is separate from matter, or spirit is separate from mind, and that we need to follow certain guidelines in order to do the best for spirit when we leave this plane, so to speak. Because we live in this illusion, yes, then it allows you to have that little window of perception saying there is a creator, there is a God. And since they have not been able to witness it, at least in their perception, they have no reason to believe it does.
Right.
But what they don't understand is everything they witness, everything is spirit. I mean, the wall is spirit, your mind is spirit. That's all there is. There is nothing else. It's all light and spirit. It's a game of light and shadows. So within the mechanism of social behavior, yes, it is helpful sometimes to tell people they will be punished in an afterlife, and there is somehow of a karma, but that karma is not what we think. The karma is the fact that when we, that higher self that you have is experiencing all these lives, and when you come back, it remains as a memory. It's affecting the higher self as an experiment.
That is very, very, very interesting. So I take it, just in summary, what you're saying is that God or spirit does exist. However, the rules of organized religion are really of a more primitive man explanation for this phenomenon.
Yes, but they're primitive, and they're a co-creative creation between the lower self, if you want, man, and the higher self as the spirit of God. It's a co-creative. In other words, there is an input, there has to be an input from the higher mind that brings down a certain amount of knowledge that's very pure and very, very deep. And then man starts co-creating above it, and then embellishes it or creates its own system. And very often, and as a matter of fact, in 99% of the case, it's going to be distorted. But that's known from the beginning, from the inception, that man will co-create and therefore will bring it down to a human level and distort the pure knowledge.
Got it.
And very often fight in the name of who knows what.
Right.
As you can see right now, we're fighting in the name of God, which is the ultimate ridiculous notion. I mean, there's nothing more ridiculous than that.
I understand. That makes a lot of sense. And just for the benefit of the people listening in, when I say primitive man came up with religious laws to explain the phenomenon that Gerald is talking about, we don't mean primitive in any sort of negative way. We simply mean primitive as in 2,000 years before scientific knowledge became mainstream. Okay, so Gerald, just moving on, I have another question for you. How would you explain psychic phenomenon such as, say, ghost?
Ghost?
Yes, or apparitions.
Same thing. If you want to experience ghosts, you will experience ghosts.
Interesting. Now, another question.
And bridges time and space. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
In my conversation with Ed Dames, the remote viewer, Ed made a couple of I don't want to use the word prediction, but Ed mentioned a couple of things he had seen on the time horizon that were coming into our reality, and a lot of them were negative events: global plague, stock market crash, high solar activities in 2012 that might wipe out the satellite communication system. But Ed also says that when attempting to predict such events, you can never actually be completely accurate, because Ed says he believes in the power of prayer, and that humankind, through conscious thought, might be able to move their reality away from these events. What is your take on this?
Absolutely. But I'm going to give you something which is quite revolutionary. And people have experienced, a lot of people who have taken our courses have experienced that. It does not have to be a consensual reality and 100 monkey theory. It has to be, more importantly, your belief system have to be totally changed and make you believe in your ability to change your reality. Now, again, it's a co-creative event between you and the higher mind. What we call the superconscious, some people might call it the sun, S-U-N, or the sun, S-O-N. That higher mind will not gift you that ability if you are still in a very restricted, separative mode. Mm-hmm. But by connecting by your own desire within to that higher mind, because that's what you really want, that's what you love mm-hmm. to do, that's where you focus your mind, you will expand your mind to the point where you will be then gifted the ability to change your universe to a gigantic extent. So I would say, yes, the probability is quite high that it will be what you would call negative events. But understand that all these events happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. They're just not, and the reason is for the parts, the lower selves, to slowly desire and ask for that reunification process, if you want. It's like a heart beating. You know, the heart has to expand first. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, when it can't expand anymore, it starts recontracting, and then it beats out again. Now we are at the point where the expansion has gone as far as it can, and now we need to go back to our core.
But does this mean that, let's say, an individual decides that he does not want to experience a stock market crash in the next 2 years, that he can create a reality around himself where the market is still growing?
Yeah. Yeah, well, this, you know, I'm going to the deep bend now. He will never know if it's consensual or not. And I mean, yes, he can.
Interesting.
But if the direction of the general market, because of what we think is cause and effect, mm-hmm. you understand, is that the market most likely needs to crash, he can maybe postpone the event somehow, but there will be still a downturn.
Right. Okay, so here's I mean, this is all powerful stuff, but I know what the audience is thinking right now. They're thinking, okay, so how do I do this? How do I practice remote viewing or remote influencing? And I'm wondering if you could give some advice to us.
Okay, I can only tell you what we teach. We teach students to, first of all, let go as much as they can of fear. Mm-hmm. Fear will separate, fear will block you. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not as easy as just saying, let go of fear, and then people will just stop being fearful. So we have techniques that allow any individual, literally any individual, and within a couple of sessions, to experience first the level of deep theta, which is the level right on the border of sleep, mm-hmm. where they're much less subject to their conscious mind and a critical mind, and this constant analysis that keeps on repeating itself, what will happen to me in the future and what has happened to me in the past. In other words, they're not so fearful of the future and they're not so conditioned by the past.
Right.
They're more into the moment. Mm-hmm. Their mind gets very quiet, and at that point they are able to connect to the inner higher mind, so to speak, mm-hmm. and receive information. Mm-hmm. And then further than that, then they are taught for the remote influencing course, they are taught how to go into that level of what used to be before the subconscious, unconscious level, mm-hmm. and then experience their critical mind, if you want, their mind, their decision, their co-creative decision, operating from within that high mind. In other words, they are floating in a level which they know is high mind, but their mind is still operating as a human, and they decide, okay, this is what I want. This is the information I'm collecting. And based on that information, I would rather not choose this probable future, which is, by the way, the name of our website. It's called probablefuture.com. Mm-hmm. I don't want to choose this particular probable future. I would rather choose another available probable future and make that one my reality. Mm-hmm. And then they energize that. And then that level being so powerful, they can then energize that reality, and then they will witness it.
Interesting. Now, how
that's
do you,
remote influencing.
How do you teach someone to function at the theta level? I mean, I'm familiar with how Jose Silva teaches it. It's using a series of exercises over 40 days and a theta sound. But I'm wondering about how your program does the same thing.
We use two different techniques. We bring you into a deep state of relaxation, extremely deep. Mm-hmm. Using also sounds. There are many sounds embedded. Sound is the basis of creation, is sound and light. Mm-hmm. And light is an epi-manifestation of sound, and you could say that sound is somehow an epi-manifestation of of light. But we use embedded sound, and at the same time, we also teach you to connect to an inner part of yourself, which only operates as light. Everybody is really light in reality. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about the light that travels in perception, because mm-hmm. the real light does not travel. We're talking about intelligent light. Mm-hmm. And as they experience it, they very slowly, as a matter of fact, it's quite rapid. Within a week or 2 weeks, they start losing the perception of being inside an embodiment. They don't feel they have a body anymore. And as they lose that perception of having a body, they realize that they're just pure mind, which is all they were anyway. Mm-hmm. And then they operate from the level of mind.
And then how, like how would one then use this level of mind, being at the deep theta level, yet slightly conscious, to then manifest the reality? Now let me give you an idea. This is a question someone had submitted. Can I use remote influencing to manifest the dream guy? So just using that as an example, how would someone then manifest that reality?
Very easily. Just you decide what you want as your dream guy. You be careful what you desire, because it might really become your reality. But you decide what you want. It's a decision. And then that particular universe is going to be magnetized to you, and that so-called dream guy is going to show up in your universe.
But I mean, are you using visualization, affirmations? Is it simply a thought? Is it a decision?
You know, it's hard to say. It's hard to differentiate between visualization and thought. Mm-hmm. A visual is a depiction of a thought in reality.
Right.
So yes, we use visualization. But it's attached to a thought. It more than anything else, it's a desire. It's a strong, loving, energized desire that you portray in your mind. Mm-hmm. We are really powerful beings. We extremely powerful beings, because even though we think of ourselves as being separated from higher levels, we are that higher level experiencing a lower level. That's all.
Interesting. Gerald, that's some pretty awesome stuff. So have any of your students have had any remarkable experiences in terms of remote influencing and then drawing to them a particular reality that they desired?
Oh, we have countless students. I mean, we started teaching this in 1996. On our website alone, there are thousands of feedbacks.
That's amazing.
From
That's
students amazing. Having had the experiences. We have sold this to close now to 100,000 students all over the world.
Gerald, did you say
100,000, yes.
Wow, that's...
There are barely... We did, and there are barely any country. I can't think of one country in the world which we haven't touched. We've had a lot of healings, personal healings, emotional healings. We've had a lot of people that have had their life totally changed. Mm-hmm. In incredible ways, where they suddenly realized their inner powers, and they operate in a totally different ways. We have had people ranging from medical doctors to investors to just name it. I mean, there's not one profession that has not benefited from doing this. We have had students ranging from young people from the age of 12, 13 to very old people. We've taken the course and have been totally transformed by it. It helps you at all levels. It helps you in your mind. It becomes more acute. You become totally connected. You operate based on constant intuition. Mm-hmm. You know basically what to do, what not to do. You connect to people. People see a glow around you. They feel a charisma, a certain level of light, which you really are at that point. It's really light, because you are connecting to your inner light. And believe it or not, in your universes, people around you will perceive it. And then you have all the abilities that man can think of that are made available to you.
Interesting.
So of course, you have ESP, which is remote viewing, and then you have manifesting, which is remote influencing.
That's some powerful stuff. I know you're a Silva Method graduate. I'm just curious to hear about your experiences with the Silva Method. How did that influence you?
Very good. It was excellent. I've heard from some other, and I don't need to quote them, but some other remote viewers who have been operating both in this country and overseas, telling me that they have taken the course and it was a an eye opener, so to speak, to for them as far as the abilities of the mind and how the mind operates.
Now, is there for people who have graduated from Silva or used the Silva Home Study course, how do you think your program might benefit them or say help them expand their abilities?
It is basically, it's a validation of what they start experiencing with Silva, and I would say it's a step ahead. Mm-hmm. It's like Silva is a natural entry point for them to undertake. They get validation, especially if they have a correlation with someone else in front of them, a human that will validate what they're seeing, mm-hmm. what the remote viewers call a monitor, mm-hmm. and if after that. Our course will open deeper levels of their mind, much deeper levels. And when we say deeper, it's really higher. What we think is deeper is in reality higher. And then they're opening much higher levels of their mind, and they're able to see more, of course, and manifest much more.
I see.
But the gateway is a beautiful gateway. Silva did a tremendous job. Which brought about it's important at all levels what he did. He came here for a purpose. Mm-hmm. He had a mission to achieve, and he did it. There's no doubt about it. The man was very dedicated, and he was gifted this by higher intelligence.
Interesting. And I know a lot of people are now thinking, how can they maybe get to learn from you or train from you? I take it you don't do seminars anymore?
Not now, but this is going to come in the near future, yes.
Got it.
And I will keep you posted. I will definitely do seminars. And there might be probably teleseminars and real seminars.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you might be doing teleseminars. Now what about home study programs or DVDs or CDs? Is there any way people can learn more about these things you've been talking about?
Yes, we have two home study courses, one which is called the Remote Viewing Course. Mm-hmm. It's made out of 10 CDs. Mm-hmm. And they're extremely powerful, and it will teach you remote viewing. And then the second course is the advanced level of that entry point. It's called the Remote Influencing Course, and this one has 14 CDs, and it will open your mind to a much higher level, which will help you also in your remote viewing. They really operate together.
Wonderful. What are the courses selling for?
The remote viewing course is selling for $177. Uh-huh. The remote influencing is $277, and if you buy the combination of the two, it is sell for $397.
Oh, that's great. So they can.
Okay, and I also want to say that I do. I mean, it's not been easy, but I do interface with my students.
What do you mean by interfaces with your students?
Meaning that they can call if they have experiences, which most of them will have.
Wow.
And they have questions, they can call, and I will usually, within a couple of days or maybe in the same day, call them back and interface with them either through email or through the phone.
Wonderful. Now, that is fantastic, because I know a lot of people don't do that, and I'm very impressed that you do, especially given the number of students who have purchased your products. Gerald, thank you. I mean, my mind is still reeling from some of the stuff you've shared with me. Some of it I've heard through other sources. Some of it is very new, very powerful, and I know I'm going to have to like sit back, meditate, and spend some time digesting it. But definitely, you've given people a lot of hope.
And I thank you. You've been an excellent interviewer. Okay. You're tough, but you're highly intelligent, and you've asked the right questions. I appreciate that. I really do.
Thank you, Gerald.